So, good morning. Thank you for having, or I'm sorry, it's good morning here. Good afternoon there. I would much rather be there, frankly. But I've been asked to talk about resource sharing from a perspective of new librarianship. And new librarianship is very much about community connection, how we can connect into our community, better serve those communities, and then make different types of resources available. Ultimately, why we do resource sharing, why we build libraries and what librarians do and have done for many centuries is to make to allow communities to make smarter decisions. We're looking for people to learn. And we know that scholars learn. We know that housewives learn. We know that every so often politicians learn. Students learn. People in the general public learn. And the question becomes, how do we best serve that? And does it change what we do when we focus on learning and understanding, not simply on the materials? Those are the tools, our books, our manuscripts, databases, image databases, online systems are resources, but they're tools to help the learning occur. So to begin with, I would strongly recommend that we talk about redefining what a resource is. Libraries have pioneered resource sharing over their entire history. That's why we created them in Babylon and why we created them through the centuries in different resources. We've long understood that taking tools, materials, thinking, documents, and pulling them together to both save money but to make easier access, equitable access, that we can have a strong impact on societies, that organizations and societies can learn from collecting things. I'm telling you things you already know. That pioneering around resource sharing has often done with bringing together books and manuscripts. We quickly moved to the idea as we became a more interconnected society and increasingly an interconnected world to the idea of consortial collection development. That is, allowing each individual library or unit to have its specific resources, its rare resources, its special collections, and then being able to share them across institutions. And so libraries across the world for a long time became truly the interconnected internet of its day. And with the internet and with the web, this is only accelerated, where we're looking not only in special collections and historical materials, but in popular materials, in digital materials. This led to interlibrary loan and the idea of being able to quickly share and pull resources across. We can look at this pioneering effort not only in sharing resources, but in how we think about resources. The idea of floating collections, where within a given community or within a community aspect, we can allow different resources to move locations and to better situate themselves within a given community so that our libraries and our collections look more like the scholars, the students, the public, our patrons. But the focus has primarily been on the idea of owned materials. That is that for many, many, many years and for many, many of us, we think of a library collection as that we own. We're seeing in many countries and many types of libraries, while that still occurs, increasingly we have been looking at materials that we license or that we lease. And so libraries have moved as a repository of owned materials to an access point to owned, licensed, leased, and accessible resources. That has been a major shift in how we think about librarianship. We have moved the skills and the training of librarians from accessing and maintaining collections and materials to really the idea of equitable access, seeking, information seeking and finding, the idea of organizing guides and scholarly guides and resources, extended and annotated bibliographies. What I'm going to argue just over the next few minutes is that it's time for us to expand even this idea further, that we need to look as we have migrated from the materials that we own and collect to look at sharing the expertise and resources of the community itself. What do I mean? So in a very traditional model, we have a resource, a collection, a book, a document, a manuscript. And as librarians, we organize it, we apply metadata to it, we catalog it, we locate it, we preserve it, we fix it when it needs to happen, we can circulate it, etc. And this works very well when we have a well-known limited population that access that resource. But we've known for a long time that that doesn't work out very well because that sort of one-to-one connection between a resource and a person who's going to utilize that resource is a very rare situation. We have plenty of resources that have no direct intended users, for example. We also have many resources that are very popular where we have many, many people trying to access that resource simultaneously. And we've adopted different techniques to deal with this, what in English we would call congestion, the idea of multiple people trying to access the same resource. Now, in one of the things we've done is digitize them so that many people can access at least copies of physical resources or born digital documents. But we've even seen within the introduction of digital resources the creation of what publishers might call artificial scarcity. That is, yes, we can give a copy to everyone, but we're going to limit and allow through licensing only limited access to it. We are going to ration resources. And so most libraries are based around the idea of rationing. That is, limiting access, controlling access, doling out access to users in what we hope is a fair way. And we know that the more users are that seek a resource, eventually what we do is we run out of the ability to provide and serve it. So one of the great responses that libraries have done over the centuries is we link together. We've developed resource sharing networks. So we have consortial lending and loaning, interlibrary loan, digital repository sharing. We create a system where we can access more resources for our users. The problem is that this itself has limited functionality. As that resource becomes more and more needed, more and more useful, each of these institutions also have their demands and rations. And so ultimately, while this serves a very big, strong area of, if you will, middle demand, that is, resources not in high demand, but resources in lower demand, we can share it. But those high demand resources, or licensed and restricted resources, or very rare resources, this kind of system actually doesn't work out very well because we're still competing for limited resources. Now, I'm sure most of the conference is dedicated to fixing these issues and adopting these issues, so I won't go further into them. What I want to talk about is that for too long, we have looked at the role of the library and the resources of the library based solely on those buildings and books and materials and not on the people that are accessing them. So we've moved from the idea of these folks being scholars where they are building collections and managing libraries to them being patrons, people who come in and utilize collections. And these days in modern language, we talk about users or consumers. That is, people who come in and utilize our services and then leave. And we are left with little other than circulation counts and statistics. What new librarianship is, what we're seeing as we move forward in librarianship, not simply because we have better digital tools, not simply because we are more connected, but truly understanding why we're doing this, is that these people who are learning, our patrons, our users, I use the term members. In Pistoia, they talk about allies. The idea here that these folks themselves are resources that can be shared. So while many libraries are focusing on sharing our materials, what I would like to propose that we begin thinking about more and more is sharing our communities, their expertise. Because these folks have their own materials and resources that they can share. A simple example in a public library in Michigan, one of the patrons came in and talked to the librarian. And they said, you know how I can use your systems to find a book? The librarian said, yes. And you know that if that book is not at this library, your systems can tell me if it is at another library, another branch or another library. The librarian said, yes. The patron said, I have resources that I'm sharing. Can the system help people find my resources that are in my home? I'm perfectly willing to bring them in and loan them and share them. Now, in the model where we talk about the libraries and an owned collection, that's a crazy question and an odd idea. But if we truly look at what libraries are doing is as resource sharing of a community, it makes perfect sense. And we know that they have not only traditional resources, manuscripts, letters, images, they have a whole suite of different things they can share, from materials that they've produced, photographs that they've taken, experiences, their own expertise, their own background. And so what we need to begin doing to take advantage of these collections, of this new world, of these new opportunities, is to look at the library not as a collection, where the librarians own it, manage it, and maintain it, and people come in and use it, but to look at our libraries as platforms for resource sharing in general. So in this idea, the library is not a place, the library is not a collection, the library is a platform. And a platform in systems thinking means a series of integrated capabilities, from software capabilities to physical capabilities to intellectual capabilities that can be shared. And so the platform itself is about connecting people together. So yes, we can still connect a patron to a document, to a manuscript, to a resource that we own. There is still a strong need for libraries to manage community resources, money and funding, and maintain rare items. And that still plays a strong role in libraries of all sorts. But this platform, by allowing a person to access another resource, allows that person to access another person or to access another person and their resources. And so we begin to see a platform where we can connect people together. And this happens all the time in academic situations, in scholarly situations. The true network of resources that a faculty member or scholar connects to is not a series of papers, and it's not a series of manuscripts or documents. It is truly an invisible college of colleagues. The manuscript or resource or journal article is a way of accessing another person's thoughts. And oftentimes, as scholars, we reach beyond the article to the scholar and we look for areas of collaboration. We see this in historical work, where it's not a matter of simply going through and discovering historical items and artifacts, but accessing whole groups of thinking about how to interpret and understand it, to become part of a school of thought. And what we're seeing is this academic network that long times academic libraries and scholarly libraries have supported. This is increasingly happening in all library types, where people are coming into their libraries from the general public, and they're accessing other people interested in a given topic. So you see book clubs, and you see the idea of writing groups, and you see the idea of accessing people that have expertise. We see this in things like human libraries. And we can take this now further, which is connecting people together, connecting, going from our users and patrons back to the ideas of our community as individuals and expertise, connecting them together. And so one of the tools that we can begin providing our communities is to link them, moving from collection development to connection development, moving from maintaining resources and documents and items, still important, but in the service of connecting community members to other people, other things they need to know, other user-generated resources, other materials. So if we provide video, it's not just the video that the library owns. It may be video that our users, our patrons produce, and we provide access to. We host and manage. So what are the aspects of a library platform? As we move from the idea of collections to truly platforms, one, we still need a system to inventory our owned items, right? The catalog. The idea of being able to not only identify what is owned by the library, but what is where it is and how it's organized. This is, in a larger sense, what we talk about with the metadata repository. And what we're seeing is that the what we need in the metadata repository is we've moved from catalogs as MARC and flat file records to linked data, where we begin looking at RDA platforms, where we begin to look at technologies like RDF and XML. We begin to integrate not only the things we own, but the things we license and lease with things like link resolvers and how do we access resources seamlessly for our communities. That migration of the library catalog to truly a discovery service where we provide access to what things we own, but also things that we license, things that we point to, and increasingly resources in the community that we don't have direct control of or inventory, has been an important step that has allowed us to move forward. We know that when we build those kind of systems, they must be open systems utilizing technologies such as APIs, application programming interfaces, so that people can build their own interfaces and their own systems. But on top of this inventory system, utilizing these concepts of metadata and linked data, we need to add a very new layer. And this is not the discovery layer. I include that within the metadata repository. But yet a new item type, if you will, which is a community profile system. That is where we identify, describe, organize not simply materials and things that we own and license, but we also begin to organize, describe, and provide inventory of the people who are accessing them and experts within the community. And this is not simply a way of saying who owns an item or what rights they have, checking in, checking out, lending privileges, etc. This begins to truly be an identity management system so that a person can come into their library and identify not only I have rights to be here, but this is what I'm willing to share with others. These are my interests. This is what I know. This is my expertise. This is my, for scholars, my curriculum vitae. And that these identity management systems are not just about preserving privacy, but linking people together. And this is not treating people as we treat books, meaning that we have one class, we have one metadata schema, and we just apply it to everyone. This is not about taking David Lankus and giving him something out of the Dewey Decimal System and giving him a number out of our inventory system. It also needs to be inductive. What do I mean? Imagine a scholar coming into a library and they're studying Renaissance manuscripts and very specific types. So they're going to study Renaissance manuscripts and the thinking of the folks in Florence. By giving me a basic description, but by then including within my profile, my description, the types of materials I'm accessing, how I organize personally those resources, how those resources are informed by documents that I've written, exhibits I've put together, journal articles, etc. The library can begin to build up a very accurate picture of myself and what I'm looking at and what I do. And I, as the patron, don't have to sit there and control it. It happens by me simply doing my work. That's what I mean by inductive identity. That is, I have an identity, and you know more and more about me by what I'm doing. And taking that information and then being using that to link to other people. Did you know this scholar is also working on that topic? Did you know that that materials you're looking at and how you organized it is utilized by this library or this institute or these folks? And begin to connect them together. So we have an inventory system for the materials we own. Once again, we can look at expanding and optimizing it for resource sharing. We now have a sort of new type of resource that we're describing, which are individuals, community members, and expertise. And those are discoverable within our networks of resource sharing. And then we need to add another essential component, which is what is happening is as people are accessing our resources and building this identity, they're generating knowledge, they're generating understanding, they're generating some comment upon the resources and expertise in their network. And we need to look at ways that we can publish that back out. What do I mean by that? Take the most fixed, ancient, high-powered collection you can imagine. Right? Take a library where literally they have not added anything to their collection for 100 years because the collection is complete and represents an amazing resource. It still can be publishing new items, new journal articles based on those materials, new understandings of those materials, new interpretations of those materials, new exhibitions of those materials. So even that library becomes a publisher that is constantly adding new items to its collection and the network of resource sharing based on new interpretations and utilization of those resources. So every library becomes a publisher. For some, that will look like a very traditional publisher with books and imprints. For some, it will look like blogging. For some, it will look like video sharing. And it's not based on public and academic and scholarly. It is based on the audience that's receiving it. Our libraries are alive because they constantly are assisting our communities to reinterpret their place in society, reimagine the past, and really aspire to a new future. Libraries within communities of all sorts, academic, scholarly, public, we become a platform where those narratives, those stories, those views, those aspirations can be shared out to the world. Ultimately, I see a very bright future for libraries in general. I know oftentimes in different places of the world, and Italy not exempted, there's a discussion about why do we need libraries? What is their role in the future? Are they simply repositories of the past? And the answer is that they have a very bright future because those repositories of the past, those collections of the current, are all a way for our communities to help build a future. The community is ultimately our core collection. Those books, those manuscripts, those databases, what have you, they are tools to allow our communities to learn and dream and share and connect. So the community becomes the core collection. And just as we have been taught to do collection development on resources and materials, we need to think of collection development within our communities to access, to train, to connect, to inspire. Tools, books, databases, RDF, XML, all of these different technologies will change. But our values, our principles, and our purpose remain centuries and unchanged. What we have to understand is that the library resource sharing platform is unique in the information infrastructure within Italy, within the United States, and globally. We have a varied and often conflicted way of sharing information amongst ourselves. Some of it's purchased, some of it's proprietary, some of it's free. We have variants of qualities. We have variants of understanding. We have variants of description. And libraries have always been unique because they have been about openness, equality and equity of access, and about the idea of connecting as many ideas and people for use as possible. We retain that important role as new information providers come online. Ultimately, we must look at our libraries and our mission in resource sharing around our mission as librarians. That mission is to improve society. We seek a better tomorrow. We seek better access to our tools and our materials and our history, but we seek them because we ultimately seek to empower our communities to shape, make decisions, and make better decisions about how the world works. Our product, our ultimate impact, the evaluation of what we have done and whether we have done a good job or a bad job is not going to be found in our buildings or our collections or our materials or our technology. It will be found in the work, the aspirations, the accomplishments of the communities that we serve. Our success is when scholars are better scholars, when parents are better parents, when politicians are better politicians, bankers are better bankers, students are better students. We seek to improve society. How do we do that? Through knowledge creation, through learning. We are not simply repositories that sit in a corner and hope someone has use for them. We are not going to predefine what possibilities come from the historical, cultural resources that we may preserve. We are open to expansive understandings and ideas of how that can change the world. So our mission to improve society happens by making communities and individuals smarter. That means we are about learning. That means that we must be good at learning, and we must be good at education, and we must look up beyond our stacks and talk about how those stacks are really platforms and stair steps to what people can do that we never anticipated before. That means that as librarians, we have a very important role in society. And it often means that our expertise, our value, our importance is defined not by those tools that we bring together and maintain, but by our own ability to inspire and work with our allies, with our patrons, with our members, with our users, whatever term you use. So in terms of resource sharing, what I'm saying is that we must talk about our communities as resources and not simply our materials as resources. That we must look at what people know and not simply metadata descriptions. And ultimately, what that will do is bring our communities tighter together, make libraries more relevant and important than ever, and it's going to require a new skill set amongst our librarians to shift from collection development of things to collection developments of communities. I thank you for your time today. I hope that that worked and I didn't talk too fast. And I don't know if we have time for questions, but I certainly am available if we do.
Thank you, Debbie. Just a moment for us to ask some questions for you.
Grazie per questo intervento molto interessante. Thanks for this paper, very interesting for me, because you said that we are not people that only transmit knowledge, we organize knowledge. So to this moment, the debate was about on the librarian who put at disposal documents. You said we must organize knowledge. And this is the role of a librarian since, I think, 17th, because in the biomedical field we created the databases. And this is the big role. So I think that it is very important to do this job. It is to aggregate the information from our institutions, from our researchers, and you suggested to me the utopia of a platform of universal knowledge, where all the libraries put their knowledge, the shared knowledge. Every librarian put their knowledge inside, in the biomedical, in the law field, and so on. Mm-hmm. And we put together this And we can access with a unique tool, by a unique tool, to all the knowledge. In Italy, we have no, in biomedical field, we have no portal. And I think that all biomedical libraries must operate to create a biomedical portal of quality resources in biomedicine. And other must do the same and put together all these, and we can have a universal platform. This is the topic, I think. Do you agree about this? Yes.
Thank you for the question. I think it's very exciting, and I think that that's precisely in the direction of sharing. Once again, it's not simply saying, here are the things that we have, here's metadata, let's connect them. Because as you pointed out, in areas such as biomedical, in law, how a doctor understands the organization of information is very different than how a patient understands it, then it's very different than how, say, a lawyer understands it. That's very different than how a politician setting policy understands it. And so what librarians can do is they can act as bridges, right? So if we put together a portal on biomedical information, that information is probably going to be organized very much as that community sees it. What librarians can do is not only provide the infrastructure, the system to build that portal, they provide some curation. They get out of their library and they go into doing rounds with doctors. They go into the laboratories and they begin to find materials that may not be shared. They help researchers put data online, for example. We're very good at publishing the results of a study. Increasingly, people want to see the actual data that went into that study. We can talk about how to preserve it, provide access. But beyond that, we can begin to say that that doctor, that researcher, that scholar, they themselves are resources. How do we describe and make them discoverable so that if a lawyer is looking to find an expert on a given field for a law case, they can find a doctor who's an expert? And when we connect those, this is where librarians are going to be absolutely essential, not only providing the platform within the community, but linking them together. How do we provide a way for lawyers to access biomedical information? How do we provide doctors the ability to access law information? How do we allow art historians to access medical information? Because, as a simple example, if you look at how the Black Plague was represented in art, if that's a piece of scholarly study, you may look at art materials, resources, paintings, journals. But you can also bring in this interesting medical perspective to say, ah, this is the anatomy that they would have been responding to. Oh, this is how the distribution would have occurred. Bringing in statisticians to talk about the spread of disease control and how that affected art and how that affected writing and how that affected politics. That intersection where these communities must work against each other or with each other, that's where librarians can play a very crucial role, because the resources are not enough. We need a layer of learning, understanding, and human-to-human connection, and that's where librarians can serve a very important role.